Except for that outrageous display by the drummers, this will be an hour of music with no gimmicks.
Right now on the loop. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Is Don on the phone?
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Cairo and Cairo.
Here.
Breaking news. 8 South Africans were killed when a pickup truck plowed into a crowd of people, butchering a roadkill hippopotamus for meat.
That's a way to die.
That's the way I want to go.
The hippo had been killed by a truck, attracting large numbers of people from nearby villages, intent on chopping up its corpse. The driver failed to see them in the dark. Okay, is the circle of life then continued with a pride of lions showing up and chomping on the dead people?
Well, you know the old expression, nope.
A developing story. Chicago has been named the top travel destination for closeted gay men.
Our first guest tonight is Ryan Seacrest.
Because the city offers a wide variety of gay-friendly attractions. I'd love to see this trumpeted on our airport signage. Welcome to Chicago. Home of the down low.
I don't care if you putt from the rough.
What are you putting from the rough?
I'm Gary Meyer. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes on the Gear Force, the Super G, the Streamliner, WGN.FM Chicago. Hold me, I'm trending.
I just don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Once I record that, I leave Duffy's studio, and he puts all those bells and whistles on it.
Wow.
I don't know what that means about Ryan Seacrest. I don't know if there's a more hetero man walking the earth, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Maybe Duffy knows something.
I don't know what Duffy knows. I don't want to know. If you have an issue, it's call Duffy in his studio.com or whatever his email address is. I don't know what that is. Why is he starting the week like that? Although it's the internet, there are no rules.
There's no rules.
I don't think I could play that on the AM because there are some rules left. But on the internet, it's whatever Duffy wants to do, and
so
he did it.
Could you slander somebody over the air on the internet if you wanted?
It's very hard because there are no rules, and I was really told that when I was on the AM, and the show was simulcasted on the internet too. And somebody called and said something, and I didn't think it was airworthy. It wasn't a swear. It was something about somebody. So I hit the delay button, or as some of you know it, the dump button, which takes out immediately what was going over the air 10 seconds later. And then I got a bunch of texts from people who said, hey, I'm listening on the internet. I heard everything. I don't know if because you talked about taking something out. I didn't hear anything taken out. So then I approached management, and I said, well, how does that work where I'm on the air, and I take it out on the AM, but it goes over the internet free and clear? And they said, it doesn't matter. There are no laws governing the internet feed. So that's freeform, baby, and that's where it all goes.
Wow.
So that's the nice thing about being on WGN.FM. Much more relaxed. And I'm looking at some texts that I don't know whose show they're referring to, but I will read one here that came in, I think it was this morning. My 10-plus-year-old water softener stopped working. Can it be repaired? What brand do you recommend for an on-demand unit? Only two of us in the house, and city water hardness is 25. That's from Joe. I don't know what show that's for. Is Brad Meyer doing home repair now? On his show?
Maybe he's got a new character.
Yeah. Art Farkle from Wisconsin doing home repair. Because that came in at 9:30. Well, he's off at 9:30.
He's off.
Is Dave Kaplan doing home repair? I don't know. Who's doing home repair on their shows? But anyway, that one came in. And it says here, you just cut into Johnny from Wisconsin's bit.
What was that?
Help Hector. They run Johnny's show right before mine on the days that David Hochberg isn't on, apparently, and no matter where it is, at 3 o'clock, they just turn it off. So obviously they don't line the show up so it runs right to the hour of 3 o'clock and finishes up whatever it's supposed to finish up. But that's something that is out of my hands. When we come in the studio, there is nothing coming over our headphones. It's as if we come out of nowhere and start the show. So I don't know what to tell you on that. Tell Leslie sorry about the loss of her kitty. We have had to put down two of ours this past summer, but we had them cremated, and they now sit on our fireplace in nice oak urns. Sure miss them. Still got to enjoy your show Friday after the power went out. There's another perk of being on .fm. The power was out until last night around 6 p.m. in Rolling Meadows.
From Friday?
That's what it says. I would have listened to you Saturday and Sunday also if you were on. Can you start working the weekends, please? They put some feelers out about that, expanding the show to 7 days a week. So no power for two full days after that storm.
Well, that's almost three then, because it was Friday afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. It did come in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, so that's, wow. So you have to totally throw out everything in your refrigerator, because you can't, for 3 days, that
Yeah, it's probably pushing it. How about that story of the woman who is riding her bike with her husband in Winnetka, and the tree limb comes down on her Friday and kills her? And that's akin to the story with the woman walking down Michigan Avenue and that gargoyle piece fell on her. You're 5 seconds either way, you're still alive. You have some time. Because think about it. If you start walking, if you walk a normal pace, walk for 5 seconds, that puts you a good 15, 20 feet from where you were.
Especially if she was on a bike.
Yeah. So
three pedals.
Probably, yeah, probably 2.5 seconds.
Two revolutions and she's gone. Yeah. And apparently her husband was in front of her and heard the branch fall.
Yeah.
And looked back and saw this branch. Could you imagine that?
Yeah. Again, timing and good lighting are everything. This morning I was at my mother's cutting tree branches.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like to start the day off doing something manly, so when I get here, my soft hands don't feel as soft.
I noticed a few of your fingernails had a little dirt underneath them.
They do. Yeah. I should have checked that. Anyway, there's this one tree, and the branches are going every which way, and I thought, okay, I got to start chopping. So I started, on some of them, I went out to the end where I could reach it and started cutting them in little pieces so I could put them in the waste bags that you don't buy.
Right.
And then I thought, well, this one is about 8 feet long. I'll just take it from the trunk.
Right.
And it's about 7 feet high, 6.5, 7 feet, so I can get the saw up there.
Yeah, but
so I'm sawing, and then it snaps. And then the thing hits the ground, the end of it hits the ground, and starts to come back in my face, the big part of the trunk.
And you're on a ladder.
No. It was just enough where I could reach
it
standing on the ground.
Oh,
yeah,
I get it. Okay.
So. And I put my hands up. That thing would have clocked me right in the face. And I'm thinking, okay, that's about 7-8 inches in diameter.
Oh.
And the one, I saw the picture of the woman that hit that woman. That was a huge.
Oh, was it a big major?
Yeah, it was a huge branch.
But still, if you get hit in the right spot of their head.
These people that go up and try to cut down trees by themselves, they get up there. I can do this by myself. I don't need a professional.
You mean like your
these
brother?
Things, well, my brother, he somehow did it in the middle of winter and went fine. Yeah, like my brother. I would not do it on a good day, but he got up there and chopped down a 30-foot tree by himself in the middle of December. But
is this the way you would have wanted to go?
This is a professional thing you need to get done for the most part, because these branches, they once they let loose, they go every which way.
No, you can't. And it seems like it's no big deal. Oh, I could just cut this. But it weighs way more than you think it does when its full weight. Once it's not on that tree.
And then if it hits you right in that sweet spot.
It doesn't need to be a real thick branch.
No. I could have been.
So there you could have been.
I could have been like sawing and then, Joan Rivers, what are you doing here?
Like Vito Corleone.
Just, Robin Williams, what are you doing here?
Just falling in the tomato bush.
Yeah, exactly. And there was nobody out there. There'd be lying out there. I don't think there was anybody home. I didn't go in the house at that point yet. My mother could have been out somewhere.
Oh, but think of the headline. Gary Meyer dies from falling branch.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. But at least you would have gone off on a good note because you were doing something nice.
Yeah, that's right.
You're at your mom's.
He died doing what he loved most, yard work. And then this text at 312-521-8600. not to mention cleaning her garters.
Oh.
Her garters? Her gutters. Damn it. What kind of sicko do you think I am?
Well, that's the other thing. Well, we don't want to know about that
stuff. Cleaning the gutters. If you have leaf guard, that chore is gone forever, and now these leaves are going to start falling, and if they're getting in the gutters and you haven't cleaned them before, then forget about them. Might as well take them down. Might as well not have gutters for them being full of junk.
Did you have a lot of trees to trim, or was it just this major?
It's just this one. Remember that one in the backyard that kind of V's out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that one's got other branches going every which way, and I thought that's the end of that.
Now it's V-ing off the V?
Yeah. So I got to manage this thing. But I do it. I don't like doing it all at once, because after a while you're all sweaty and stuff. And
how big was your saw?
It's a regular saw.
But I mean, no, is it like a hand? This is a little hand saw, or like a saw saw?
What do you mean?
Like a small one that it's a little hand one that you.
No, it's a little bigger. It's a hacksaw.
Like a big.
That my brother must have gotten to chop down the apple tree.
So you have quite a few implements over at the Meyer house.
No, just enough to get by. I don't have enough to do what I got to do. Like the basics, I need a new hedge trimmer because the one I had, that's the one I almost cut my finger off.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, and some other stuff. By the time you get all, really, this whole home ownership, it is over.
That's what I'm telling you every time, and you make fun of me.
It's
horrible.
Really.
And every day, like I came home Friday, and I'm expecting
branches
and everything, and I got neither. So we must not have gotten.
It must have been up north. That's
where
you're seeing all this damage.
We did have some like little leaves and stuff, so there must have been a wind. But there was rain, but certainly not enough to.
The Mighty Putty held?
The Mighty Putty held once again. And I have a new little jerry-rigged thing in the little space by the door. I put a piece
work.
Of sheet metal up.
Sure.
See if they'll go.
You know where you belong, in a trailer down by the river. Well, that's where you should live.
Well, I mean, it's that or, you know, $2,000 for a sump pump and digging up.
Sure, because that $2,000 is way more expensive than the damage that will be caused when it comes up to your waist and destroys everything. So it's a $2,000 well saved.
Well, every homeowner knows that they always do that first. They first go with, let me try the cheapy, easy way, because I hate to call the guy. But I do call the guy.
In the end, never works.
No, and I do call the guy. I mean, I had to call the guy a couple weeks ago for some plumbing stuff. So I'm not afraid to call the guy. But I don't want to call the guy. I mean, if I would be calling the guy every day if I didn't try to do something.
Okay. The text that just came in said, Baba Shiva is worried about spoilage in his refrigerator, but yet eats food off people's room service trays in the hallway at hotels.
Well, you don't want to get sick.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, a bad rancid... a rancid milk.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, first of all, think about it. The food from the hallway is fresh food. That's from room service. It's just made.
All right, you've rationalized.
It's only a couple hours old at most.
Maybe Eric the Undertaker can get Leslie a pet urn at cost.
A little late for that.
You've already buried him.
He's planted.
They've already had the services. Yeah. Do you have a little red carpet, too? Just like Joan?
Like I said, I kind of got mocked.
We actually went for a cat on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah, but it was the one that my wife had seen on the internet was already adopted. So,
all right, so you are looking for another one.
Well, she is. I went.
Okay.
I mean,
aren't you a trooper?
I mean, she really wants one. I don't, you know what? I had to be very honest with her. I was like, I really don't want to hurt like that again.
Okay, honey, the hurt was so deep.
It was.
I can't go through that again.
I still cry over Thames, and so I'm like, I'm always all in. I'm all in.
Yeah.
I don't sort of like you. I either love you or hate you. So,
and apparently your heart is only so big. So
yeah,
you can
only accommodate so much
before it
hurts.
I said, I don't, because if I fall in love with this one, and I hurt. I mean, when Thames died a couple years ago,
like that again.
It was pain. It still is. We have
it's horrible.
We have her ashes in a nice little marble thing that's right on the coffee table. And I mean, I see it every day. We have her picture next to it.
All right. And yeah. the hurt continues.
I have the little sign that's out why in the yard.
You drink.
I put a little flower.
to dull the hurt.
I put a little flower by her little, she's not buried outside, but I have a little stone for her in the yard, and I put a flower by it every other day.
Instead of going out to Tinley to chop a tree, why not a brisk workout at a local gym?
Well, there's that.
I have never been part of a gym. I don't want to be part of a gym. I
that would have you as a member?
Yeah, I get on the treadmill and all that crap.
Well, plus, you know what? It's so intimidating the first time you ever go, because even though all the machines are basically the same, when you go to a gym or you go to a fitness center at a hotel, you always want to look like you know what you're doing.
Right. A lot of that stuff, I start hitting buttons. And exactly. I'm not going to ask somebody how it works.
Exactly. You are not going to ask somebody.
No.
So you go in there, you hit the buttons. They're either...
Well, if somebody's in there, I just go right back to my room.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to be able to work these things.
And it's not that easy.
And not to call you persnickety, but you have a sense of what you like your environment to be. Mm-hmm. And the idea of getting onto a piece of equipment that still has the remnants of somebody else's body liquids all over it.
How would you even do that? Well, I mean,
that's why I've never joined a gym.
They do have the spray, or they do have the little wipes, but I got to think in your head, that has to be hermetically sealed after
it's used. I've never joined a gym. Thank you. Before I went to her house, I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts. You know how I talk about the only people in there, they don't have the laptop hobos like Starbucks. It's usually older guys.
Right.
So I get my coffee, and I'm getting ready to walk out.
There they are.
I was standing behind a guy who had some kind of goofy T-shirt on it, and I was doing it in my head, like mocking it. So as I'm walking out, that guy is sitting over there. They go, "Hey, Gary, how you doing?"
You're like,
I went over there. It's two guys in that age group that I always talk about sitting there having coffee. Probably do it every morning.
On a Sunday, right?
This was today.
Today?
I start the week off.
I thought you did this yesterday.
No,
Oh, wow.
7:30,
So you were out there at 7:30?
7:30, sawing wood.
You were there at 7:30?
Yeah, 7:30.
Which meant you had to leave.
Well, I was at Dunkin' Donuts at 7:30, and then about 7:45, I rolled in, got the saw out.
That was an early.
Yeah.
Is any neighbors around going, "What's going on?"
I'm sure they are. But
why is there sawing going on at 7 o'clock in the morning?
I think they like when I come around, because I don't just police her house. I will police the three houses on each side. So if there's a cup or something, I'll go get that. I have to have the whole area pristine before I leave. Yeah. That's how weird I am.
You are a good neighbor.
I am. They love seeing me. Yeah, he's here. Everybody go relax.
Well, don't you hate when you see the plastic white cup, the styrofoam cup?
Saw it today.
Either on the driveway, somewhere on
today.
The street.
It's across the street. I had to go get it.
I will do that, too.
Because that'll bug me the whole day.
That'll bug the heck out of me.
Can't leave that there. I don't care whose lawn it's on.
I was shocked because I went out.
My parents used to give us like bags and just go clean up the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Go up and down the block.
Nothing wrong with that. That's good, honest work.
Well, Saturday afternoon, when I pulled up into my driveway, I saw this styrofoam cup at the tip of my driveway. So I pulled the car back into the garage, and I came back out because I'm like, that won't do.
In the car.
That won't
with the air conditioning on.
That won't do.
Because I can't walk
it's
back
all about
there.
The planet, yeah.
And I was shocked. Some people from across the street who I have had so little contact with in 16 years. Hi, Jim. I looked around. Who are they talking to? How do they know my name?
No, they probably Googled you because they don't really like you.
I was shocked. The woman
there are websites where you look up offenders in the neighborhood.
Right, to see who's living in their neighborhood.
If I said hi to this woman one time in 16 years, that's too many. Not too many. That's more than I would have thought.
Well, I'm sure
Jim.
Maybe she just thought, Jim, Joe, Bob. You look like a Jim.
Right, exactly.
Thought you'd take a shot.
But I was shocked. And
that's the last time you're going to go to the end of the driveway.
Well, I'm going to first look out the window to see if there's anybody out on the street.
Well, they probably talked to the garbage man who ripped open your plastic bag full of leaves, and they came over and said, "What kind of moron would put leaves in a plastic bag?"
Well,
and the garbage man said, "This Jim guy lives in here."
Well, I had a few. Now, I didn't have as many as I usually have, but I put them in the middle of my regular garbage.
Guy can't buy
a
yard bag.
This way, it either wouldn't smell or... See, I think the giveaway on that one, when the guy opened it up, probably...
Because grass, wet grass, if it's in there.
I'm thinking a stick may have punctured through the plastic bag, so he saw like a stick and a twig, and then he got suspicious. Mm-hmm. Then he probably...
And upon further investigation...
So your mom has those bags?
She's got the yard bags, but I had some big branches, and it did poke through the bottom. So what I do, I duct tape that hole and still.
Oh, you didn't break it?
I did, but it still went through. But it was on the bottom. It was already full. I'm not going to pull it out through the bottom and start over. I just duct taped over it.
How many does she have?
How many what?
Hey.
She's got about 15.
Can you throw me a couple?
Yeah. This woman's on a fixed income. Can you
and
really?
She understands that there are investments to be made as homeowners.
Yeah, but one or two bags? You can't.
Yeah, really.
What are you going to do about the stickers?
What are the bags? $5 for five or something?
Yeah, but those stickers, less than $1.
When I went for a permit for my fence, I heard somebody buying those stickers. They're not cheap.
What, like $2 a piece?
Yeah, but if you need 15, that's $30.
All right. You don't need 50. Yeah.
Again, he will blow thousands on a pair of glasses that Elton John wore.
Well, that's something I could touch.
Yeah.
I don't, to pay money to throw something out, that goes against every grain of money.
So now he fills his trunk with leaves, goes to the forest preserve, and just shovels them out. They'll never notice. It all blends. Leslie, did you have pawbearers at the cat funeral? It says on this text.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
My love goes so deep for that cat.
He was a sweet cat.
So now do you have any?
I've got one. I've still got Tula, yeah.
So will you get another one, do you think?
Yeah.
Soon?
Probably. The house feels really empty without him. I mean, he was a senior citizen. It wasn't like he was bounding around very much, but it definitely changes the energy not having him there first thing in the morning and last thing at night.
So you wouldn't wait 2 years like we have?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're over 2 years now.
Because the love he had for that cat was so deep.
Well, I don't want to hurt again.
He can't hurt as much.
I don't want to hurt again.
Yeah.
I was devastated.
We are humans. We heal. And it's only through loving that we become worth anything on this planet.
Sounds like part of your speech.
Yeah, was that on a card?
From the weekend.
Thank you for letting me still use part of the service that I wasn't able to do.
And all of her relatives are rolling their eyes.
Come on, I even had Piano Cat as the big happy ending, but no.
Oh my God.
Did you have some cold cuts to give out after? Because why would they come over if they knew this was happening and they knew they weren't going to be into it?
It's my daughter and her boyfriend. She knew that mom would be hard to deal with if she didn't come over, and then we went out for sushi.
Were they sitting
Because he would have wanted us to eat
That's
sushi.
Right. Raw
people
fish.
Sitting shiver or all or anything? No.
We're Catholic.
Okay.
The cat wanted Leslie and her family to eat raw fish, much like the cat did.
Exactly.
So you went out for the luncheon. You still did the luncheon after the funeral.
Like I said, he died in the morning. I waited all day to bury him because I wanted to make sure he was really, really dead. And then we went out for dinner.
Yeah. Well, right. Catholics always live a nice meal after a funeral.
I know.
I'm trending at number five, and number two is the Dan Le Batard show. So we got to get going here.
You know what? Football season started now.
Did
and they're all
not
talking.
Here. It didn't. So we have a little lag time. Ouch.
How about that Chicago Scott? Oh, they lost too. Never mind.
Yeah,
yesterday
tough,
was
tough
one
day,
of those days where all of our teams lost, except I heard the Kane County Cougars, I believe, have advanced to something.
Oh, good. Oh, and a great place to get a pork chop sandwich.
Yeah?
Did the Sox lose too?
Yeah.
So
everybody
Sox,
lost.
Cubs,
everybody lost.
Sky, Bears.
And looks like I won't need to plan much of a parade for WNBA Sky.
No.
That Phoenix team, I didn't know anything about their opponent. And then when I heard their stats, I thought, forget it. We won't be having any parade.
Okay, they refer to the one woman on the opposing team as being something like 6'10" with a 6-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, that's not even
and
human.
They've lost only two games in their history or something.
Yeah.
And the Sky is the lowest ranked team to ever make it
ever
this far.
Yeah. They never won a playoff game,
I think. So. Looks like I won't have to make many calls about that parade.
It's going
to
be a short parade.
I got a picture emailed to me today showing Mr. Dave Novotny with somebody who visited him at the Melrose Park Taste Of over Labor Day weekend. And she said she enjoyed seeing your stuff at your booth at that taste there, David.
Gary, how are you?
Good.
I've got a cat story. I had two cats. They both died at 22 years. First one died. It was in the wintertime. I could not bury him because the ground was frozen, so I had an old freezer in my shop, and I actually wrapped him up in his favorite blanket, put his favorite toy in with him, and kept him okay in the freezer until the ground thawed, and then my other cat passed away, so I was able to bury both of them together. And they both lived about 22 years.
Did you get replacement cats?
No replacement cats. What happened was we went to the vet, and there was a little small poodle they found on the street. Nobody wanted to adopt him, so we adopted him and found out that he had a heart condition. He had to go on heart medication, and he died of a big heart. On Christmas Day, he died. Same thing happened to him. The ground was frozen, couldn't bury him, so I had to wrap him up. Same thing in his favorite blanket, favorite toy. And then when the ground thawed, I actually buried him right next to my two cats.
Wow. I was thinking, as far as a big heart goes, it seems like Baba Shiva has a big heart, so big he can't accept another cat right now.
I don't want to
hurt. He's still grieving 2 years later.
I don't want to hurt like that again.
Yeah, same thing with me. I didn't want to do that. So what we did is we went to one of the Wolf games, and they had that adopt-a-pet at the Wolf game, so we adopted a little brother and sister poodles, little puppies, that were thrown out. A whole litter of them was actually thrown out, and we adopted the brother and sister out of them. So now we have the two little dogs, the little puppies, and then we have our collie, which is a short-haired collie, and she is about 14 years right now, and she's actually got hip problems, and she's having a lot of problems now.
Yeah, well, fortunately, some of these animals find their way to homes like yours that can care for them. When we had dinner with Howard Stern and his wife, when I was on vacation, his wife's big into animal rescue, and they always have at least 10 cats at the house that they're caring for and hoping to find people to adopt. And some of the stories you hear about what people do to animals, it is beyond belief how they torture these animals and just throw them out. And you got to wonder what the hell's going on with people. Now, all serial killers, they pretty much have done research on this, all serial killers start out torturing animals. So that's the first sign, the red flag is they're going to go on and start killing people.
I think Howard has one that's blind.
Yeah, he was talking about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank God there are people out there that care for these animals and hopefully get them good homes.
Right. Both of our boy cats both had to go in for surgery. Both of them, their hospital bills were about $800 to $1,000 apiece, and they both had the same problem. They both had the urinary tract problem where they get blockage, and then they have to go in for surgery. But both boy cats had that. And then our collie, she just came back out of the vet, and she was on pain pills and antibiotics and all of this stuff. And yeah, you have to, you know, there are more people out there, Gary, that have good hearts than people that have not good hearts. So,
well,
and another thing I was going to say is that, you know, cats are also known to keep away. It's a superstition, but they're known to keep away evil spirits.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, sure. And one other thing that's known to keep away evil spirits are those crucifixes. So if you need some more of those, we'll make up another batch that you guys can give them away to the fans.
Dave, you can make stuff 24/7. I'll give it away. I don't want to infringe on our friendship here, because I'll call you every day and ask for stuff if you let me. I want to get that piece for the Tinley Park High School exchange in October.
Yeah, that I'm working on right now.
Okay.
with the engraver. So I think what's going to happen, it's going to be a combination of something engraved and something made out of steel. So I'm working on that.
Great.
So
now,
I still need to get some picture shots of you. So
all right, I'll get those to you.
Make sure you get those over to me.
But if you have more crucifixes, I'll give them away. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'll make you another six. I don't have them made right now, but maybe next week. And then if you guys want to, you know, take in some bad spirit stories, and maybe one of the listeners can win one that way.
Yeah.
We get the best story.
Well, I've got mine hanging in my new office, so I'm assuming all the bad things are gone now.
They should be.
Well, I had it in my old office, too, but this time for sure.
Not a problem, Gary.
Thanks, David.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Dave Novotny, CustomSteelArt.com is his website. Check it out. If you're looking for interesting gifts, that's what he does. He makes very unique things with steel, stuff you won't find anywhere else. Custom, whatever, you tell him, he'll do it.
I'm trying to think, because I've seen his showroom, and in addition to, you know, he makes the Blackhawk heads for the show, but he makes every Chicago sports logo. With color as well. You can get a color, or you could have the metal shine. you know, mm-hmm. if you want. But then he also makes, like, coffee cups if you wanted to do something in your office.
Anything you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, but he makes these butterfly, these tables made out of butterflies, like these giant metal butterflies and chairs, and he makes these Blackhawk tables.
Yeah, it's remarkable what he does. Every time he hands me something, I look at it and think, wow. Everything.
And it's funny.
Everything is a wow factor.
When I walk into his workplace, he always has, like, it's funny because it almost looks, there's a portion that looks like a dry cleaner's, because he's got these things hanging. You know, they're either drying because mm-hmm. they're painted or something, so there's always these long kind of coat.
You push the button, they come around.
Yeah, these coat racks.
Let me see your ticket. I'll get your crucifix.
Stuff hanging and stuff.
If you have a minute. Coming up at 4 o'clock, I'm going to talk to Rita Kreslin. She is the executive director for the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. I was planning on talking to Rita probably sometime this week or next week because their annual event, their fundraiser, is coming up next month. And that's ostensibly what I was going to talk to her about. But unfortunately, there's always a story about a drunk driver that comes about every week where we could use that as our stepping off point on any given week. And again, this weekend, a woman hit a state trooper. He was talking to a motorist, pulled over to the side, and because the motorist had gone so close to the wall on the passenger side, he couldn't get over there. That's what they normally do on a busy expressway. So he was on the driver's side, and this drunk driver hit him. He survived, but he's in pretty bad shape. And I'm going to talk to Rita about this because this woman who hit this state trooper, last week she was issued 2 years probation for her second DUI. This will be her third. So why this woman is driving at this point is beyond me. I'm always up for your car is taken away for 6 months for the first one.
You have to take the keys in the car away.
They don't listen when you revoke their license or whatever. They don't care.
Because she obviously can't have a license, right? After this.
I would hope not, but Rita's going to give us all the details.
Ugh.
But this would be her third. How many do you have to have before you're off the street completely?
Oh, did you see a picture of her?
What does that mean?
Well, she didn't look like she was...
Well, wait till you... I'm going to get into the details with Rita about what happened on Saturday. The state trooper was not the only person she hit. She took off.
Oh, like, and then she hit some other people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's every week. You hear a story like this, some drunk driver hit somebody, whatever, and probably not their first time.
I always wonder when those guys with the tow trucks are on the side of the road, too.
Well, I always think about that.
Close.
When anybody's over on the side of the road.
It's so close.
Sometimes if it's dark out, maybe you don't see them. Not that you're driving on the shoulder, but there's that little room for error. But you got a drunk driver out there. They don't have any wiggle room because they don't know where the hell they are. When I was in Pennsylvania over Labor Day weekend, they have those overhead signs, those electronic signs. This is what caught my eye. 94,000 DUI tickets written last year in Pennsylvania. 94,000 in the entire state.
Wow.
Okay, that's the amount they caught.
Right.
94,000 drunk drivers going around. And here, I'm sure we have a similar number. So anyway, Rita will explain what's going on with that, and talk about the event coming up next month.
She must know how many are in Illinois, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have all those numbers. But there's no reason for it. It's 100% preventable. There's absolutely no reason to be driving drunk. What? And who would argue this? And I heard somebody say that, oh, some of these laws are too strict. Who in their right mind is going to go, oh, that's too strict? We shouldn't really have strict laws like that for the first DUI. Remember that one where the guy got on Lakeshore going the wrong way, plowed into the cab and killed that woman.
Yes.
Yeah, stuff like that. And he had two other people in the car with him. They let him drive.
Remember,
they were drunk too, but when does it end?
Remember a couple of years ago there was a rash of those wrong way drivers on the highways?
Right.
On the express lanes too. The express lanes are even worse because there's no shoulder on the express lanes. So you can't even move over if your car is... disabled, there's nowhere to even move over.
All of us are possible victims, so look at it that way. 312-521-8600, that's the text number and the phone number. And just think, next week at this time, the Bears season will be 1/8 over already, and they're going to San Francisco. It's a night game. That can't be easy. This whole talk of, it was almost as if they were guaranteed a win. It was just a matter of going through the motions, and they were going to be given a win no matter what. And then they lost, and now everything, the wheels have come off. Everything is up for grabs.
Oh, now, well, the bad defense and the Cutler pout were back being flashed before halftime. He was already pouting.
Yeah.
He threw one interception, came back, pouted.
Did you see the press conference after where he said, you don't know what we're doing out there, we don't know, or something like that? Keith, or Kreef, however you know him, he found the audio. Let's play this.
Is it tough that you weren't able to get a home win, especially with all these road things coming up? Does that make it work?
Of course. I mean, you guys are going to be as negative as possible, and we understand that. But we've got a lot of games left. We did a lot of good things. Obviously, we made mistakes today. We got to clean them up and keep moving on.
You understand why people might be negative after offensive showing today?
Yes and no. No one knows exactly what we're doing out there. So, I know you guys think that you do know, but you don't.
Oh. I got the impression when I first heard it that they didn't know what they were doing out there, meaning the players.
Yeah. Well,
you don't know what we're doing out there. How did he phrase that? We don't know what we're doing out there? How did he say that?
Yeah, we don't know what they're doing out there. You think you know, but you don't.
But it sounded like he said he didn't, and the other players didn't know what they were doing, and they didn't.
Well, for him to bite the hand of the media, for the last 6 to 8 months, they have tried to sell this guy like he's turned some new leaf, he just had a new baby, and he's mature now because he's 31. I had to be mature a lot before I was 31.
That's right.
You know, you don't become mature at 31. Well, and, oh, he's not now. He's got financial security. Oh, he brought a conversion van to Bourbonnais, you know, because he's a father.
What's that
got to
do with his play?
Yeah, and you know what? After that first drive, admittedly, they looked amazing.
Yeah, but you need more than one.
Yeah, and as soon as things got back to the old ways, he was pouting. He was making bad decisions. And where was the nice guy for him to bite the media's hand after they
first game out of the box
were in love with him for the last 8 months?
You don't know what we're doing out there. Well, you don't know either.
Trying to convince.
We don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what we're doing.
Ugh. You know, and
first of all, Lance Briggs, obviously he had barbecue sauce on his fingers from the restaurant opening he went to last week. He missed some practice.
Did you hear the excuse? Because, you know, they have off on Tuesdays. So one of the reporters asked him, because this was on a Monday.
When he went to the restaurant opening?
So the reporter said, well, why didn't you go on Tuesday? You had an off day. And he goes, well, my partner made that decision because it was on Labor Day. And he goes, because, you know, a lot of people don't work on Labor Day. So we wanted to be open on Labor Day. So this was a pure business decision.
Okay.
Had nothing to do with, you know.
Which business is more important?
And
what's the nest egg?
You know, clearly his partner didn't care about his schedule. His football schedule.
So that's where he should go.
Wait a minute.
I am a professional football player.
Exactly.
The only reason I can do this restaurant is because I play football.
Right.
So you do the opening without me.
Or
make it.
Make it on Tuesday.
How about before the season starts?
Yeah.
A lot of time there. You can't figure this out.
Oh.
And see, they set themselves up because that had been one of the, hey, what are you doing moments all week. And now this happens and good luck.
But. I mean, it's amazing how if you read the paper on Sunday morning, you would think the Bears were going to the Super Bowl. 24 hours later, it looks as if they're not going to win a game. Everybody has
turned. Well, this happens every
year. They're already out of the running.
It is unbelievable how they have turned on this team so fast.
At some point, I went over to the Cubs game, and that was 7-0 in the second inning. I thought, what is happening here?
I think even the pitcher hit a homer yesterday for the Pirates.
All right, it was just a mess all the way around.
They might not win the next four games in a row.
It's going to be rough.
They don't have.
Plus, it's such a small schedule. When you lose one game.
Oh, 16 games.
And the first one, the pressure's on. Now you can't afford to lose many more games because you don't have much left.
And I believe the next three or four are on the road. So they're all on the road.
Right.
They don't even have
that schedule. Kate?
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
So I am so glad you're going to have this woman on because this morning my blood pressure was off the chart. Matt Bubala is sitting in for S&M, and he's got this lawyer who defends drunk drivers. This guy's got every excuse in the book.
Sure they do.
They have rights. They've got a, he actually said, when someone said, well, it's not a right, it's a privilege to have a car. He's like, no, actually, it is a right. They do have a right. They need to get to work.
Well, they should have thought about that before they started drinking and driving.
Oh,
idiots.
He's like, he said, well, they live in the middle of DuPage County. They have to get to work. There's no public transportation. I'm screaming in my radio, move. Move somewhere where there is public transportation.
Yeah.
I was crazy. I called in, and I held on, but they ran out of time.
Well, that's what you get for listening to AM radio. I told you.
Exactly.
It's time to come to the Internet. This is how real people talk.
It makes me nuts. I'll be 48 next month. I love to have a couple with my friends just as much as the next person, and we are all
Nobody's saying don't drink. It's right. Don't drink and drive. How hard is that?
We are relentless about it. Who's driving? Who stopped drinking? No drinking. I mean, we are so careful. And this guy had everything. Well, this cost them thousands and thousands.
Good.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Great.
It should cost them more. Double it.
I don't think the teeth can be sharp enough as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if they take their car away for 6 months. I don't care if they lose their job, because there has to be a moment where you go, here are the consequences. Everything's got to have some consequences here.
Right.
And those are the consequences. If you want to do it, those are the consequences. You've accepted them. Go ahead. If you don't kill anybody.
That's it. I'm with you 100%. And if I'm driving, I don't order the second drink. I'll have a drink before dinner. I'll sit and enjoy my dinner. And the waitress will come by, you know, an hour later and ask me if I'd like the second drink. And the answer is no.
Yeah, I was out.
I'm driving home.
With a friend of mine, he had just gotten this new Tesla, went out to dinner. I had a couple glasses of wine. He said, hey, how about you want to take it for a spin? Want to drive? I go, you know what? I'll do it next time. I had a couple glasses of wine.
Right.
I'll sit here in the passenger seat, be very happy. And that's
right.
Because I've gone to these AIM events for years, and I'm telling you, they should make every high school kid go to this event. Now, I know every high school kid doesn't drink, but sometimes you're within a group and somebody's drinking, you go, I'll give them a pass. When you go and see the carnage that's done up close, you will never remotely get behind the wheel after a drop.
You know, it's such a responsibility sober to be a teenager or to be a young adult driving anyways, and then, you know, no, there's no excuse, zero tolerance. I'm absolutely 100% with you. And this guy that was on the radio today, I'm thinking, dude, that's because you got a big house in the North Shore off of these people getting arrested.
Right. That's his go juice.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
You know,
keep him in front of the judge, get some continuations, and keep getting that bill up. And, yeah, sure.
Right.
But make sure he keeps his license so he can go to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Make sure he keeps
it's going
to
cost you. Well, if you want to go to work, I can get you a temporary license. Yes. It's going to be restricted. That's going to be about $5,000 or $10,000 over by there.
Because as long as he goes to work, he's got money to pay the lawyer.
Right. So it's a vicious cycle. Anyway, Rita will give us all the details in a few minutes.
Well, thanks so much, Karen.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Joining me on the program is Rita Kreslin. She is the executive director for the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. I talk to Rita every time around this time of year, I should say, and that is to promote the benefit that they have coming up, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Hi, Rita. How are you?
Hi, Gary. How are you?
But I moved that interview up. I was going to do it probably later this week or next week, but I thought, well, now that I see this story that happened over the weekend, we got to talk, and I'm sure you're familiar with this story. Let me give everybody else the details if they're not familiar. Though it was Leslie Thoreau's second time in court on drunken driving charges, a Cook County judge granted the Mount Prospect woman her freedom last week, sentencing her to 2 years on probation after she pleaded guilty to aggravated DUI. Just days later, Thoreau faces a third DUI charge after she struck and critically injured State Trooper Michael Kokens while he made a traffic stop Saturday on the tri-state. During the short hearing, prosecutors detailed how Thoreau fled the scene after hitting the trooper, who was standing on the shoulder of the tollway near Elmhurst after striking Kokens. Thoreau continued driving for about 2 miles, and her SUV glanced off a retaining wall twice. She then struck an Acura carrying a family of seven. That collision caused the family's vehicle to roll over. Page 2. Thoreau then struck a median and spun out. Her attempt to flee was recorded by another motorist on a cell phone camera. Her blood alcohol level was later measured at 0.175, more than twice the legal limit. Court records show that she was previously charged with separate DUIs in 2014 and 2008. In the 2014 case, which is just this year, she was sentenced to probation last week, as I mentioned. So how does somebody like this continue to drive and, in this case, almost kill somebody? And here we go again.
Well, she was driving on a revoked license, so she wasn't driving legally. And I think people that have repeat problems with DUI obviously have an alcohol problem. And before she was sentenced, she was evaluated. You know, everybody that is goes before the judge before sentencing for DUI has to go through an evaluation process. And many times the judge will go by what the report says. Now, I'm not saying that it was a bad report, but you look at the list of things that are asked the individual, and if this woman is an alcoholic, they lie, you know, as we all know alcoholics will. But she was rated high, and she was sentenced to report immediately on the 4th when she was released to a correctional intervention assessment, which needed to be completed, though, within 30 days. It's a little confusing because it says immediately, and then, but yet you're allowed 30 days for this evaluation. So she was rated high.
What does that mean, rated high?
Rated high, Cook County uses a system of A, B, or C. Now, according to the report that I have that I'm looking at, she wasn't rated a level A. If she, had she been rated a level A, she would have had to report immediately to Central States Institution for Addiction. So they would have taken her right then and there. I don't have a report of the evaluation, but I know that one is done, and one was done after her first DUI, and that they base a lot of whether or not they rate this person needing immediate substance abuse help or not. Now, she was also required to submit to random drug and alcohol testing, but she had only been out, you know, released for 3 days, 4 days. So could they have done maybe a little bit more and even had her put the SCRAM device on if there was any inclination that this woman has an alcohol problem? You know, that was not ordered as far as I can see, but I know that most defendants, when they have a SCRAM, which is an ankle bracelet that monitors them to remain sober, they don't like that. And they do everything they have to comply with what's required by the judge to get that thing off, you know, not to mention it's very expensive. So this is one of those things that it's not a perfect system, and this is a woman that should not have been on the road, and that's just...
But this is not an isolated case, Rita. We talk about this every year. This is just one of dozens of cases that we hear about, it seems, every year, multiple DUIs. How often, and I'm sure you have the numbers on this, when somebody's license is revoked for drunk driving, how often do these people keep driving? They just ignore that.
I don't know what the statistics are, but I could probably guess how many that are revoked that are driving. I think a lot of them try. I think that once that license is taken from them, it's very difficult to get it back. And if they do feel that they need to get to work, they may take somebody else's vehicle if they don't have a vehicle of their own, or they'll borrow, or they're, you know, and they'll get into a car then. There's no way, like I said, it's not a perfect system to stop people from driving if they have access to a car or keys. And when you've got an alcoholic that has a problem, they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, we're not talking about the person that makes a bad mistake and drinks too much at a wedding and gets into a car, or is out socializing and then drives home. Those are the people that you have a chance at rehabilitating. Those are the people that you hope that if you swiftly take their driver's license away from them and they can't get where they need to go except with maybe a bay device and a restricted driving permit, they're going to change their behavior pretty quick, hopefully.
How strict are the laws in Illinois as far as drunk driving compared to other states?
We're very strict. The problem is that if the courthouses would only take that DUI fact book and live it verbatim when possible. You know, I mean, I know that there are always extenuating circumstances for each case being an individual, evaluating it individually, but if the courts and the state's attorney, not the state's attorneys, the defense attorneys, and would take a look at what's written in there for the laws and follow them, I think we'd have a lot more people having their licenses suspended.
In general, first DUI, you don't hit anybody. You're just picked up for a DUI. How much is that going to cost you?
Money-wise, I think it's about $500 for the first offense. I know that the suspension of your driving privileges is for 6 months.
Well, automatically.
Automatically, yes. And then the second one is for a year. But if they refuse to submit to chemical testing, then it's a one-year suspension.
Okay.
If that happens.
I thought it was more costly for the first one. $500, I'm sure some people, yeah.
Well, not the total cost. I mean, the fines and fees, once you make it through the court system, oh, no, the average cost of a person for a DUI is about $14,000 to $16,000.
That's the number I wanted to hear.
Yeah. When you factor in insurance, legal fees, court costs, income loss, maybe rehabilitation, oh, yeah, it can get very, very costly.
Okay. $500 is just the fine right there.
Right. Just for that initial.
Yeah. That's not your legal fees or anything else, which will have to be baked into this.
Yes. Yeah.
Are we making any progress? When I go to this event, which I will do next month, and the part, and I've always talked about this, that really gets me, and I mentioned when I was in Pennsylvania last year on that electronic sign over the expressway, they said 94,000 DUIs written in Pennsylvania last year, and that caught my eye. And I know there are a lot here, but when you have your event, you bring up these policemen that have written the most DUIs. There must be, I don't know, 15, 25 cops up there, and they've each written at least 100
yeah.
tickets.
Right.
So that's just the ones they caught, and these are just the ones you're awarding something to, and then you start multiplying that, your head blows up.
Right, right. Well, there are, unfortunately, a lot of people that just don't get it, and they are still drinking and driving. We have a victim impact panel tonight in DuPage County where there's over 250 people that are attending that are court-ordered to be there because they have a DUI, and most of them are first-time offenders. And I think we are making progress. I think that, especially with our teenagers, which I'm just so pleased with, because I think the programs that we put on and we get to these kids a little bit earlier, the majority of them get it. I think that adults have a tendency to think it's not going to happen to them. The average person, they say, drives 85 times drunk before they get caught.
Oh, my God.
So when they finally do get caught, you hope that by attending a victim impact panel and maybe taking their driver's license away from them, that they will change their behavior. You know, the alcoholics that just are going to keep on driving, we'd love to lock them all up and throw them all away, but that's not a solution either. You know, so we do our best in an imperfect system to try and change behaviors of people.
I wish your event was mandatory for high school students. I know all high school students don't drink, but they're probably around somebody who's going to drink, and then they're going to drive, and you're probably thinking, well, I don't want to be not cool and not get in the car because I think they're drunk. They should see what this is when you have
right.
your event. When you see these people that have been affected up close, you never forget that.
Well, we are going to be having soon the stories that you see in our benefit book, we're going to combine them into a booklet and have them available through people to download on the internet to be able to read the stories and see what happens to the lives of these people when they lose someone in a drunk driving crash or they've been severely injured and have to live the rest of their life with brain damage. You know, a lot of these people that are being able to keep their driver's licenses, that's not changing behavior. That's rewarding them, you know, and for doing something bad. And, you know, defense attorneys would like to make you believe that, well, you take away their livelihood if you take away their driver's license. And, you know, but the reality of it is that what about the victims that are on the road? You know, you're making a trade for something where if they're a first-time offender, they're going to be able to drive because they'll get that bait device and they'll get that permit. If they're a repeat offender, then they don't get that privilege.
When do they have to put that device in where you have to blow in before the car starts?
I believe it's, if they're approved for it, I believe it's on the 46th day, which would be the start of their summary suspension, and then they'd have to be approved for it. So they've got 45 days to either appeal or a request, not appeal, but request a hearing to vacate their summary suspension. And then if that happens, then they get their driver's license back. But if it doesn't happen and they're found guilty, then they can apply for the Bay device. And there's a long list of requirements to be able to get that Bay device, and it's not cheap.
And if you have somebody that's not drinking, blow in it, and you're caught, what happens there? I know people have tried that, too.
You can't have that happen anymore. Last year, Secretary of State's office passed a new law that every person that has a Bay device in their car also has to have a camera. So there is no more pointing the finger at somebody else blue.
Great. I like Jesse White. I think he's doing a great job.
Yes, he is. He's doing a wonderful job.
All right, let me grab this call. Steve, you're on with Rita Kreslin from AIM.
Steve, love your show, man. Hey, I want to chime in here. My one and only DUI I had, and again, I don't drive drunk anymore, but though I'd like to think I set the law for the current people that are going on today that get DUIs. So, I mean, I have a good job, and I had to go with my tail between my legs, and I filled out all the paperwork. I took all the class before my court date was even there. I had my employer at the time had to type a letter saying, oh, this guy goes to all these counties here in Illinois, you know, all the counties. I had my license back that day of my court date. But in doing so, I had the vape device. Now, again, it didn't have a camera. That's new. But, boy, is that thing a pain in the ass.
It should be.
Well, I know. But there were times when I did mess it up myself, but there were plenty of times when I didn't, and I had a jelly donut, or I had Listerine, and it would slip out, and now it costs you, at the time, 06, it costed you like $75 to rent it a month. So I messed it up three times every month for 4 months, and it cost you double. So it was like $150 because you have to get a new one, send it out, gets it sent back to you.
Good. Good. Anything that makes this a hassle, because this is the only thing people seem to respond to.
What's the jelly donut?
I understand.
What's a jelly donut set it off?
One day I was drinking coffee, you know, one morning, 8 o'clock, and all of a sudden all this gibberish comes on the screen, and it's asking me to blow. And you got to blow like in 10, 15, 12-minute increments while you're driving. So I do, and it flips out. So now I'm like 5 minutes from work. When the third time I blow, and it is the horns honking, the lights are.
How often does this happen, Rita? Where the thing
that happened twice.
Well, I'm not saying it's a computer. You know, there's glitches and all kinds of things that could happen, but I don't think a jelly donut's going
to
set it off.
Rita, one more thing to add. But this is why I called in, because when you said, and I think you clarified as to what it really cost. My one and only costed $10,000. I had a great lawyer. First time, and I still haven't been able to relinquish my savings account. I still cause that as my hindrance.
All right. Well, that's what it should
anyway,
be. That's what we're saying.
I love your show. I love the show, guys.
Thank you, Steve.
Big fan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got an Elkie that likes you.
Well,
Jim, I hope you're happy. Taxi driver Bob. Hey, you're on with Rita Kreslin from AIM.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
As Gary knows, I listen to his show in the afternoons, and I drive nights, taxi cab at nights. And quite often I get calls for people to be picked up after getting busted for a DUI at police stations, or actually on site, too, of where, you know, in the area of where they were pulled over for DUI. And a lot of times these people, you know, the police officers are there telling me, do not take them back to the car. And I would say 8 or 9 times out of 10, the people say, just take me back to my car. Just take me back to my car. And just think to myself, how stupid can you be?
And what do you do?
Pulled over. I don't take them back to their car. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not taking you back to your car. And if I see, you know, and I, a lot of times I'm the eyes and ears of the police on the streets too. You know, like when I see something that's not right, people drinking and driving, I'll report it to the police. I'll call the police up and give a license plate and a car. I don't care. I'm not going to be killed by somebody that doesn't have any regard for human life. I'm not going to be a part of that. And it's just ceases to amaze me, the complete stupidity of people. They just got busted for DUI and all the things that go along with that. And then you're going to go back to your car and drive the car again?
Because people think that they can drink and drive. They think that they're okay. They don't believe that they're drunk. That's part of the problem with alcohol, is that you don't think, you know, that you're as drunk as you are. And you feel that, okay, well, I only had X amount of drinks. I could handle getting home. And you can't, you know. And people don't realize that they're the lucky ones, that it's a cop that stopped them. Even though that last caller, that his ticket cost him or his DUI cost him $10,000, that it was the cop that caught him, and then not a tree or hitting some little kid riding his bike across the street.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a couple of these police officers, and I ask them, well, these people ever, you know, end up getting recaught by the police? He says that there's been a number of examples of people going back to their car, thinking that they're going to drive again, get back into the car, and they get busted for a DUI in the same night 2 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, Gary, I tell you, I'm parked in bar parking lots and different things. I see there's being progress being made, but there's still a lot of progress that has to be made. And I just don't get why people can't, you know, understand that you can't drink and drive. You know, drink somewhere where it's close by your house, where you can take a cab, or just drink at your house.
There you go. Nobody's telling you can't drink. That's not even part of the equation here. All you have to do is not drive. Is that so hard? There are many ways, thanks, Bob, to get back and forth if you're drinking. Jill, it's a big city, and you can get a ride somehow. Jill.
Gary.
Hey.
Hey, love the show. Just wanted to chime in. My stepfather is a retired state trooper. He was also a detective at the end of his career. But as a teenager, I saw lots of photos, crime scene photos, and I should thank him every day. Because to this day, I'm 42. I've never had more than two drinks, never had a drop and got in the car. It turned me off to it, the whole thing, anything to do with it. And every kid, you are right, Gary. You are 100% right. Every kid, before you get your license, should have to sit through a 20-minute class would be enough. Because it's so, it's horrific. It's never touched my life. Never, you know, had anyone in the family or anyone get hurt. Just to see somebody else have it happen to them was enough for me to just, it made the point, you know.
Right. Thank you, Jill.
You know, we're starting a new program, Gary, in DuPage County that was just approved on September 29th, and it's a victim impact panel, but it's geared for the 24 and under age group. So what that last caller just said about kids being able to view, we're going to have live speakers, both defendants and victims, and stories geared more to their peers, with questions and answers and handouts. And maybe, you know, so many kids come through the normal victim impact panel that don't even look old enough to have a learner's permit, let alone a DUI. So we're pulling them out of there, and we're going to try a different approach that hopefully, if it takes off, we'll be doing it in other counties.
Yeah, and I know AIM also has people go out to schools and speak who volunteer to do this because they've had a family member that was involved in a drunk driving accident, and they want to do whatever they can to give back, and you send people out like that. I know that happens all the time. Now, your event is coming up next month. Why don't you tell everybody where it is and what to do?
Our event this year is called Forget Me Not, and it's at Venuti's Banquets on Lake Street in Addison. They can find out information on our website, which is www.aaim1.org. We've got you as one of our guest speakers. We've got Alan Krzyzewski, who has also been a huge supporter of our mission. And this year we actually have a success story of a young mother who adopted her five nieces and nephews after their mother was killed in a drunk driving crash. And at the time, the kids were all 11 and under. And she's going to tell her story of how the face of tragedy has happened to her and how they've moved forward. So it's going to be very empowering.
It always is. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again this year.
Great. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Rita. Rita Kreslin from AIM. Really, you go to that event?
Yeah.
And you see the people up close that have been
and
through this.
Was Rita touched by this?
Yes. I have in the past mentioned why she's involved, And I don't want to start the conversation because I'm sure it's right. this day and always will be, obviously, very sad.
Well, she seems very passionate about it. That's why I figured.
And here's why. Her 19-year-old son, John, was killed by a drunk driver 12 years ago. Oh. Yeah. And towards the end of the program, on the screens in front of the banquet hall, they show all the people that have been killed by drunk drivers of the relatives that are sitting there.
Oh, geez.
I can't even look at the screen after about 5 seconds, but I look at Rita and her husband, and it's like it just happened for them a week ago.
Really?
I mean, it's how would it not?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. When you go, you think, okay, this is 100% preventable. 100%. There's no need.
Remember we were talking a couple weeks ago about if there were portable breathalyzers, so someone
Yeah,
would
well,
know.
They are coming out with that, or have come out with that, right?
Last week, one of the, you know, because all last week, I think even this week, too, they've got the best of Shark Tank, and there was an app that a guy had.
Portable breathalyzer.
Where you actually put it on, you hook it onto your cell phone.
Right.
And then you breathe in.
Did anybody buy it?
Oh, guys, all five.
Yeah.
They were all fighting each other, and I think they even all went in together.
Yeah.
Well, that's
a good karma investment.
Every one of them wanted a piece of that.
Yeah. Yeah. 312-521-8600. That's the text number and the phone number. The other night I was spinning around the channels, and I landed on this special on Prince Albert II of Monaco.
I saw that too, a year in his life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew this before, but when I watched this, I thought, my God, Tom Skilling could go to Monaco and he could be a Prince Albert II impersonator.
Exactly.
These two are dead on. And if you haven't seen this guy in a while, grab his picture somewhere. It is Tom Skilling.
And when I saw it, I watched it, I said that, and I said, wait a minute, Gary has said that, because it was...
I've said it to Tom, and I don't know if he's compared himself, but I got to do this. Aaron, if you can find a picture of Prince Albert II and Tom and get them juxtaposed together so we can...
Especially when he wears a pair of glasses.
Yeah. But this guy, you talk about a sweet gig.
Man.
Is there a better place on earth than this principality of Monaco? I've been there.
Oh, you've been to Monaco?
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
It's as nice as it looks in the pictures. What's not to like? It's the size of probably Tinley Park, and it's just all millionaires paying no taxes and sunshine.
How about they throw a picnic for the whole city?
For the town, for the people that work there who aren't millionaires, just regular people.
And they all show up, and he's there
just hanging, shooting
the breeze.
I like, now he's kind of a big guy. He's got kind of a gut.
Yeah.
And they show him one morning going for a jog, and I'm thinking, is this just for this show? And then he always goes and works out when he's traveling, but I'm thinking, when is that going to kick in?
Half hour of cardio. Yeah. They showed him on the bike. He does a half hour of cardio. Wherever he goes, he takes his staff with him, and they're doing a...
Cardio.
Yeah, a half hour of cardio and a half hour of aerobics.
But he did not inherit his parents' looks at all.
Oh,
not that Tom's not a good-looking guy.
No, but I think Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly, and his father was a pretty good-looking guy.
Prince Rainier? You kidding?
And he doesn't look like either of them. But then Grace Kelly didn't really age well either,
no,
I thought.
She didn't.
She was 52 when she died.
Yeah, and she must have smoked because she had that look around the eyes.
Yeah.
It seems where if you smoke, that's where it tends to age you. But I was shocked at how bad Stephanie looked. The younger daughter,
well,
did you see that?
Well, she was mirroring carnival acts.
Yeah, I mean, she was in major.
Well, then the older daughter, that line of husbands she came up with.
Horrible problems.
She's the Christie Brinkley of Monaco.
Like tragedies, too. Like, didn't a couple of them die?
Racing his motorboat.
Yeah.
And first guy was a total playboy.
Yeah,
and
that was that. Yeah, the first guy was old, like 20 years older than her.
He was a flame out.
But this guy, I mean, you saw at the beginning, they showed some pictures when he was young, was a teenager. Oh, he went to school like everyone else. Yeah, okay. But look where he went home to, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's over there.
Why bother going to school? You're going to inherit all this.
And he got to be a playboy until his dad lived fairly long, so he didn't even have any responsibility until
he was a playboy.
Yeah, until it was late 30s, early 40s. And then he's married to this beautiful woman,
I mean, it's one of those things where, come on, how do you get that?
But I was shocked to see, it makes sense, but I never knew that he spoke French.
Well, it's the south of France.
Well, certainly. Every time you see him on television, he's always speaking English.
Right.
And then on this, he's at home.
Yeah, you have to.
And all of a sudden, he's like, whoa, where did that come from?
Does your little dog bite?
It's not my dog.
Yeah, well, again.
Like a room?
You've got this sweet piece of real estate.
Oh.
Right there in the south of France. And what they're doing, they're building a big dock for more yachts.
Right.
That's what his big deal is. And when we were there, we went down to that harbor.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there was a ship smaller than 100 feet.
It looks like it's just, they had this one, they showed him going, it seems like all he really does is go to benefits.
Right.
And events and cut ribbons.
And then writes checks to these countries that he thinks he feels sorry for.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. But so they showed this. It was funny because there's a charity ball for some needy, and they're all showing up in these Lamborghinis and these amazing cars.
To help
and these
the unfortunate.
Yeah, these amazing, these women
they're
are these
all filthy
amazing
rich.
Dresses. And,
let's go help the great unwashed.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, well.
Although I had to laugh, he was into, they were playing at one of these events. He had the Scorpions.
The Scorpions were playing at this real button-down event, and I'm thinking, are they going to dial it to 11? What are they going to do?
And
but he's a big Scorpions fan.
Yeah, they showed him, and he was playing air guitar and mouthing the words while Scorpions were up on the stage. So I was like, well, okay, maybe he's not that much of a hoity-toity, of a dandy.
Yeah. Well, there were rumors that he was a Nancy boy. And because he was just not with any woman in particular for a long time.
Well, even this woman, if you saw, I don't know how much you saw the show, but so apparently they had some kind of he went to the Olympics or something, and she was a swimmer, and she was 22 or 23, and he was, and he went to the swimming event, saw her, and said, I need to talk to her.
Get her backstage.
Yeah, so then they met then at some little after party, and saw each other.
She's a princess of something or other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's got a title, but
they
give out titles like ribbons at Little League games.
Because then for 10 years, they didn't see each other. Or 5 or 6 years. And then when his father died, she called him to say, I'm sorry. They rekindled in 4 years. So it was 10 years from when they met to when they finally got married.
It looks, just from the show, and again, I can't get the whole picture.
Yeah.
It almost looks like it's for show.
Very arranged. Yeah.
They don't have, doesn't look like a lot of passion there.
Well, I mean, as you said earlier about the rumors, who knows? This could be
right.
You know, he may needed to have been married and have to have that heir because he did have a child, right?
Do they have kids?
I think she had a baby.
Because I never remember hearing about any kids.
I think they had an heir because that was the big thing. Like, hey, because if this is the Grimaldi family, where's it gonna go? The other two are the girls, so that doesn't matter apparently.
Okay, but again, if I'm Tom Skilling, I get over there pronto, and he will get a table at any restaurant.
My word!
I'm the Prince of Monaco.
My mother's Grace Kelly.
Grab your legs.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll bring that up at 6 when I talk to Tom again.
But what a life! That's once again. That's the
all he did was get born.
That's the uterine lottery. You win the uterine lottery.
I really thought Grace Kelly was the best.
I mean,
in her prime.
Did you?
Rear Window, if you don't, come on. You can smell her through the TV.
I never,
through the movie screen if you saw it at the movies.
I never, growing up, you always heard about Grace Kelly. By the time I got to be aware, she was already not a movie star and just Princess Grace.
She only did, three movies?
Yeah, three or not too many. But so then in the mid-80s, they re-released, when they were just beginning to do film restoration, in the mid-80s, they restored Rear Window and they released it to the theaters. So you could watch it on the big screen. So I said, I always heard about this movie. Let me go see this in the big screen. When she came on big screen, I
lit it up.
Fell in love. I was
mesmerized. And by that, you meant the popcorn box was over your lap.
I could not take my eyes off of her. She was just...
Well, that's what Alfred Hitchcock couldn't do either. That's why he hired her all the time. He's always playing grab ass with her on the set.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why. And if you
notice, Rear Window, not my rear. Hitch.
And if you notice, most of the women in his movies were all blondes, mm-hmm. and they were
and
all Grace Kelly-ish.
They all claimed that he was always pawing them.
Yeah, Tippi Hedren had a problem with him during The Birds, and you know, Janet Leigh obviously was in Psycho. Eva Marie Saint was in North by Northwest, and then Grace Kelly was in two or three, so he always, Doris Day was in The Man Who Knew Too Much.
I don't know how Jimmy Stewart could just sit in that wheelchair without getting a
chub. He had to. He couldn't stand up.
He must have had a chubby half that film.
Well, you can't stand up.
Well, I'm sure he couldn't even if he could.
That's what I mean. You got to sit down. He had the best role. He just put a paper over his lap.
I know Raymond Burr wasn't that interested, but Jimmy Stewart,
Wow. Yeah, she was, and then talk about, and I've heard stories that not only was she pretty, but she was a little randy. She was,
I remember reading a story
she
where
went there.
A guy sat next to her on the Concorde and said she was putting leaves in a scrapbook or something. She was doing scrapbooking.
Really?
Yeah, she became very that.
Okay.
Which was 180 from what she started as.
I heard in her day, she made the rounds with some of the big, stars of the day, and she was not shy. She was full of grace.
Somebody was. 312-521-8600. Phone and text. Chime in if you want to. All right. And there were a couple actors that were killed over the weekend. I mentioned the one where the tree fell on her.
Yeah,
right?
That was, like, she was an actress.
A lot of theater, and was on Chicago Fire.
Oh, do you
I think she played a paramedic, apparently, on that. And then this other well-known actor who did a lot of stuff locally was killed in a car accident. And I saw a picture. This truck ran over his car.
Ooh.
And you could barely tell it was a car after.
And he was on the way to rehearsal.
Yeah. That, what's this one? Molly Glynn.
Molly Glynn, yeah.
And Bernie Yvonne were their names. Glynn was a big theater actress. She appeared in Tom Jones.
I think she was just in, you remember a couple years ago?
Boss.
He got sick.
TV show Boss.
Remember George Wendt and Tim Kazurinsky did The Odd Couple?
Right.
I believe she played one of the Pigeon Sisters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And a woman who was actually in a play with me played the other Pigeon Sister, which was kind of neat.
Okay, that's 6 degrees of pigeon.
Well, just saying, because you always make fun of the plays I'm in and how stupid they are and the people that are in them. And here's somebody that I was that played my wife, who was actually she's actually at the Goodman right now.
Okay, Aaron just handed me a picture of Tom Skilling next to Prince Albert
II. Is it scary?
Have you posted this on my Facebook page? It's on there. Where else can they find it?
Twitter.
Yeah, is it unbelievable?
Okay. They're almost identical.
I had to look twice.
My word.
If Micah wasn't in the background there, I wouldn't even have known.
That is
well
wild.
What you got to think, though, is there's when you have the bald head look, it's not too hard.
Okay, I guess if you want to stretch it, Prince Albert II looks like Jason Alexander, too.
That's what I mean.
He starts to get into a lot of lookalikes.
Yeah, when you have the bald head, a lot of people tend to start looking
but
the
But
their face, no, there's no doubt.
Yeah, they're very close.
Because I looked at it, and then I remembered that you had mentioned that to him several times. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, Gary has said that. Because I was like, wow. There were a couple of angles there during that show where he was walking, and the way the camera would hit him at certain times, it was eerie.
I expected him to go into a cold front definition.
To say haboob.
I'm sure that piece will repeat somewhere. It was at PBS. Was that where
it was? No, it was on Channel 11.
That's PBS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Same thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And usually they try to get their money's worth out of those, so they'll repeat it. If you see it listed, take a look.
Yeah, it's like
not only for the lookalike, but to see how this guy has won. I think this text says something like that. At 5 o'clock, how does this text go? I just scrolled. At 5 o'clock, the head of the Illinois Uterine Lottery on the Gary Meyer Show. Yeah. Something like that.
It is. It's the Uterine Lottery. It's unbelievable. I mean, we were talking about Prince Harry before, too.
I seem to recall that there was some scandal involving Prince Albert and an Air France flight attendant. I believe they have an out-of-wedlock child.
I believe that
I
is
think,
true.
Yeah. Now that I see that.
Yes, that is true. But that one I don't think could be the heir. You know what I mean? Because he was not...
I don't know. You're Prince Albert II. You get on any plane, uh-huh. and I know he's not the best. Now, again, Tom Skilling is attractive. But
well, goes without saying.
If this guy wasn't Prince Albert II, would he be getting this kind of attention?
No.
Not at all.
Because especially, did you see the outfit he was wearing at the picnic? He wore this, they said it was a traditional kind of workman's outfit, and it had like these pantaloons and this vest. And I was just like, okay.
The sisters were seldom featured in this piece.
But they,
I know it was about him, but maybe they got about 10 seconds of screen time. I don't know if they want to keep those two below deck or what.
Well, Stephanie was the younger one, and she was the party chick, and she was the one who was in the car with Princess
Right, there was
Grace.
Speculation that she was driving.
But she was driving.
Though they went off the cliff.
She may have been high or drunk or something, and so they made it look like it was Grace driving so that this one wouldn't get arrested and thrown in jail.
Yeah, we went to that spot where she went off the edge there.
Oh, is it?
It comes down a hill, and then you got to go right or left. Otherwise, you go down into the ravine, which she did.
Is it kind of dicey?
Well, I mean, if you don't go right or left, yeah.
That mean there's no guardrails
no.
or anything?
No.
Oh, see.
And the hospital they took her to was the Grace Kelly Hospital. As it turns out, the elevators weren't big enough to get her gurney in. So that was problematic when they tried to get her from floor to floor in her own hospital. That's probably why Stroger didn't go to Stroger when he had the stroke, because he had remembered that story.
He's like, wait,
never go to the hospital with your name on it.
Because they take you for granted there.
See, Rush Limbaugh couldn't go to Rush because of the same reason. And he knows that if he's in town.
And 60s actress Amy Prentice couldn't have a baby at Northwestern.
Wow. All right, I know you've mentioned they should put a railing around the entire Grand Canyon so people don't fall.
Yes, because people are falling over, and I've seen people, I've been there, and that was scary to see how close people got to the edge.
A blind man who says he was injured last fall when he fell off Stearns Wharf is suing the city of Santa Barbara for damages, maintaining that railings should encircle the entire pier.
Thank you.
But he's blind. That, I would think, enters into the problem here.
Problem not from him. It's not a problem for him.
No, but if they had a railing, no.
If they have a railing, then it's then it's a problem for them.
The wharf is 2,300 feet long, has wooden railings lining the north portion of the wharf. However, at the end of the pier,
so he walked
near the Santa Barbara Shellfish Company and Moby Dick Restaurant, is not enclosed by railings, and there is no signage that warns people to stay away from the edge. He's blind.
Yeah,
I don't know if the sign would matter.
But what if you're holding on to this, if you're him, and you're holding on to the railing, and then suddenly you continue to walk, and there's no railing, and off you go.
Okay. I think the fact that you're blind is going to have some merit here.
You should have a... Oh, you think that's good, right? No.
What's good?
Merit for them?
Merit for whom?
Whose side are you on?
For the city of Santa Barbara.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. The poor guy. How is he supposed to go on the pier?
I think you have to accept certain risks if you're blind and you're walking around with the aid of a cane, which he does.
So you're saying go with somebody then?
Yes, especially when you're on a wharf.
Yeah. Well.
Or anything that drops off suddenly.
So did he just fall off then? He just walked right off?
He claims the fall was because the city had failed to install a railing on that part of the wharf. He was walking with the aid of a cane. Last November, he fell off Stearns Wharf into the water below.
I mean, because that sounds like almost like a Monty Python thing. You just see this guy walking, and he just
with the cane and
steps right off and goes right in. Well, I think that I don't see how railings are that expensive.
If they start with this, then they do have to put railings up around the entire Grand Canyon.
And
because
and the problem
there are
that
people
is,
that fall off of all these structures, Yosemite, Starved Rock.
Well,
suddenly we're putting railings everywhere.
Well, I'm sorry, but especially when you're hearing now several people. Didn't you say someone said that 100 and how many people fall off the Grand Canyon? You had a figure.
Yeah, it was
120 or something. I mean, that's enough.
Okay, there's the end of the canyon and go straight down.
Hey, you know that, and I know that. I was scared. I couldn't believe
how about
there was
this?
A
little compromise.
Kid that went, I mean, I was dying.
How about a compromise? Like at baseball parks, the last, how much of the warning track is, what is the footage of that?
Oh, like the dirt part? Oh, I would say that's probably got to at least be about
10 feet?
15, 20 feet.
Okay, yeah, whatever. 10 feet. How about we put sand in the last 15 feet before you go over? You're on the warning track.
Okay, you know what? As much as that...
Very environmentally correct.
Something...
Very organic.
Fine, then. Something that lets me know, because... I mean, you read that story about a month and a half ago where there was two people that went over to the ledge and their 5 and 6 year old kids were watching them as they were taking
right,
a selfie
parents.
And their parents went over the edge. I mean,
I know where the edge is.
And
I try not to go over it on the air or when I'm visiting canyons. That's what I try.
When we went to the Grand Canyon, there was this little kid, and I was so far back, I didn't even know I was at the Grand Canyon. That's how far away from it I was. I was so afraid of falling over. And this kid is getting by the edge, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, okay, it's not my kid. I can't do anything. I can't say anything. I certainly can't grab him and move him away. But why isn't somebody making this kid get away from it? I mean,
hey. That's the responsibility of a parent.
I know. Yesterday we're walking. I remember I'm driving. There's a little kid walking on a sidewalk next to the street, a very busy street, and he's got to be 4 or 5, and his dad is about 20 feet ahead of him. And every so often, he turns around
I've seen
to see
that
if
a
he's
lot.
Still there. And this kid is kind of running, and he's kind of not, you know, his arms are moving around.
Come
I'm
on,
like,
you're surprised there are a bunch of chooch parents out there?
And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, you know, and enough to be, it was one of those streets where it's two lanes, and then the curb is right there. So even if the car is right.
Look around when you're walking downtown. You see that all the time. All right, here's the second idea. They embed, you know, those invisible dog collars? They embed that around the Grand Canyon, and then you rent the collar when you're walking around, and if you get too close, it'll give you a shock.
Right, so it won't be on
sharks. It's an invisible collar for people at the Grand Canyon.
At every national park or
any
monument.
Place, Yosemite,
right.
Yellowstone.
You know what? It won't be an eyesore if you're worried about that, but that's...
You can't miss.
Once again. I'll take that one and the trap doors at the bank.
312-521-8600.
The funny thing is, it would be hilarious if those doors opened one day on Shark Tank and you come walking out.
Sharks?
It's
how many times have you been to some landscape where it's dangerous and you might fall off?
My only hope is if you go out there and you bring, if you've got an investor with you, who's your partner on this, when you do your pitch, don't talk at the same time and say, so are you ready to be with us? Please don't do that.
They rehearse that and it looks like
it. Oh, it's so terrible.
And that's when Mr. Wonderful will go, you are a cockroach.
You're dead to me.
You really should just take your money and throw it out the window because that's what you're doing here.
You're dead to me.
And here is a text. You've been to Monaco. Way to relate to your listeners.
I was waiting for that one. Well, you know, Ringo Starr was on a radio show one time. And
he lives there.
Yeah. And
for tax purposes.
But this is what I'm going to say. It is not a good tax haven for Americans. It's not because the person that he was talking to was American. He goes, well, it's not going to be good for you. He goes,
why?
It's only Europeans or something like that where the tax break is better. If it's an American, you get nailed. So it's not a good tax haven for us.
Because they don't want a bunch of us going over there and setting up shop.
I guess not.
Well, in England, isn't the tax at a certain level
90%? It used to be 90%. That's why in the 70s, when all these rock stars who had come over here and made all this money, they were all seeking tax exiles in France. The Stones made out because they were taking literally 90% of the money they made.
Yep. I think it's bad here.
Yeah.
Hey, Leslie.
Hey, Gary. After catching fire, a section of the Colossus roller coaster has collapsed at Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia, California.
Now, that's a good ride.
Not anymore.
Now it is.
If you're on that, you put your arms up and go with it.
Woo! Oh, because, yeah, there is a drop-off like you've never seen before now.
Plus, there's a fire feature, too.
Well, the fire's out, but easily about a 20-foot section is missing right at the very top of it. So, yeah, it's a thrill.
So nobody was on the thing at the time?
No. And investigators are still trying to figure out.
It's a wooden roller coaster?
Yes.
All right. Because what else could what's there to catch on fire?
Yeah,
there's not much there. A rail? And whatever.